Well, welcome. Thank you so much for being here this morning. Let's go ahead and start our service with a word of prayer, if you would, please. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for all you've done for us. Father, I pray that right now you would speak to us, that your will would be accomplished in our lives each and every day, and especially now. Father, I pray that as we open your word, that it would not be me who speaks, but it would be your Holy Spirit that goes forth and into our hearts. And I pray you prepare our hearts now. Thank you so much for your word, that it does speak to us. And Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to study it this morning. I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, John 10:10 is our memory verse. We'll show it to you there for a second. And we are going to John chapter 12. Okay, so while you're turning, can you do two things at once? You memorize, say the verse you memorized, and turn to John chapter 12. Here we go, let's try it. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. All right, very good. I love farming. I love farming. When I was 12 years old, I started working on my uncle's farm. I absolutely loved it. We did beef cattle, which means we did everything. We did cattle, we did goats. I hated goats, just for the record. We did wheat, we did beans, we did corn, we did all kinds of things. It was hard work, but I loved it. It was so, so much fun. And yesterday, the farmer behind our house was harvesting the wheat, and he stopped his combine right behind our house because the combine got plugged, and I got to go out and help him unplug it. It was great. I was filthy. So much fun. We have had beautiful sunsets at our house over top of the golden fields of wheat. So picturesque. Interestingly, though, every spring we would have pallets upon pallets of seeds delivered to our farm. We would promptly cut those bags open, put them inside of a planter, and then we would take that planter out into the field and we began putting those seeds into the ground. In just a couple short months, those seeds would be full-grown plants. Now, I have a habit of actually getting excited about this, okay? About a week or so ago, I don't remember where we were going, but we were all in the car together, our whole family, and I looked across the field, and I saw that corn already had tassels on it. And I was like, the corn is already tasseling. And my wife just rolls her eyes, like, what is wrong with you? That story then got relayed to many other people over the last couple of weeks, and everybody thinks I'm crazy, so I figured you might as well think the same thing. But honestly, it just amazes me how you can put something into the ground, and in a few months it can become something beautiful and useful. We have a garden. I love gardening as well, and so we've got that out there, and we just put these small, small seeds in the ground, and before long we have a bumper crop. But this all was not just to tell you about how crazy I am. This was all because Jesus gave us this exact same picture in our passage today. So would you turn John chapter 12 with me? John chapter 12. We'll begin in verse 20. John chapter 12 and verse 20. The Bible says, "And there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast." So it wasn't just Jews at this feast. There were Greeks there as well. Verse 21 says, "The same came before to Philip, therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, and desired him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip cometh and telleth Andrew," and again, Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. So just to get a little bit of what's going on here, so these Greeks come and say, hey, we want to see Jesus. Now you've got to remember that at this time, if anybody knew where Jesus was, what were they supposed to do? They were supposed to turn Jesus into the Pharisees, so the Pharisees could then take and kill him. So now the Greeks are saying, hey, we want to see Jesus. We want to know where he is. Now, if that's you and I, and you're trying to protect somebody from being taken and being murdered, you'd be a little bit hesitant too, wouldn't you? And so it does kind of seem like they have a little bit of a buffer. So Philip, they tell Philip, and Philip goes to Andrew, and then Andrew and Philip both go to Jesus. Verse 23, "And Jesus answered them, saying, The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. So Philip and Andrew come to Jesus and tell him that there are some Greeks that want to see him. And instead of Jesus saying, oh, great, send them in, he begins into a teaching monologue, so to speak, about farming. Now, again, most people really don't care about farming. They're like, oh, boring, right? Farmers are always complaining about something, whether it's too hot, too cold, too wet, too dry, too dusty, too humid. We constantly complain about everything. And so this, I can just imagine, the guy is just going, oh, here we go again. Why are we hearing about this? But look what he says again in verse 24. I want you to see this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. There is virtually no argument that when a seed is placed in the ground, it must die in order to bring life. It must die in order to bring life. So every single corn seed that we put into the ground in the years that I was able to farm, listen, every single one of those, thousands of them, maybe millions of them, had to die in order to produce fruit. It has been proven that on average, one kernel of corn seed will produce approximately 800 kernels of corn per cob. So next time you're having corn on the cob, which will be really soon, okay, you're eating about 800 kernels of corn on average. Now I want you to think about that. One seed creates 800 other seeds. Now, that's only if there's one cob. Some stalks produce two. So that's anywhere from 800 to 1,600 kernels. Now, that's a huge return on your investment. That's a huge return on your investment. So when Jesus says it brings forth much fruit, he is not lying. He is not lying at all. A corn has to go into the ground, but it has to die in order to be productive. But notice with me, please. Jesus is not just speaking specifically about wheat, grain, and corn. He's not. Okay, he's using this as a metaphor to teach us something. He's trying to get us to see something. So I want you to pay specific attention to verse 23. Jump back there with me if you would. Verse 23. Jesus answered them saying, watch, the hour is come that the Son of Man should be glorified. I could take you all the way back through the book of John and show you each time Jesus said, mine hour is not yet come. Mine hour is not yet come. My time is not here. The hour is not here. We would constantly say, it is not my time to go. Yet here in verse 23, there's a transition. Here in verse 23, he says something very different. He says, the hour is come. It is now time. Jesus is not talking about corn, and Jesus is not just talking about wheat. Listen, he is talking about himself. And the hour to which he refers to is the hour of his death. So when he says a corn of wheat must be placed into the ground and die, he's referring to himself. He's referring to himself. He is the one who is going to die. And he is the one who is going to bring forth much fruit. But did you notice? Look at that verse again with me, verse 23. The hour has come that the Son of Man should be what? Say it with me. Glorified. Does that make sense to you? Now, I'm just going to tell you, death is ugly. Death is horrible. Death takes people away from us. This is not what he says, though. He does not say that the Son of Man should be painfully, horribly, ugly put to death. That's not what he says. This is not how I would exactly begin to talk about death, that it's glorified. Yet Jesus talks about death as something that causes glorification. But I want you to notice that is exactly it. That is exactly it. Jesus' death was actually the most glorious thing that he could do. Let me say that one more time. Don't miss that. Jesus' death was actually the most glorious thing that he could do. Why? Because his death would produce life for us. Because his death would produce life for us. I want you to see John chapter 3 and verse 16. And I want you to see the word world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Jesus came for the whole world. Now, he's talking about producing much fruit, isn't he? Covering the whole world, making sure the entire planet has life is what he came for. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, I want you to notice the word us. The Bible says this, but God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for whom? Us. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22. I want you to notice the word you. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind. How? By wicked works. Yet now hath he what? Reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Listen, I don't want you to miss this. He did it for you. He did it for me. He did it for us. He did it for the whole world. He died so that we could have life. Christ died for you and I. Listen, if he had not died, if he had not died, had he not sacrificed himself, notice this please, he would have been alone. Watch this. Go back to verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, watch, it abideth alone. It abideth alone. Listen, this is so important, so important. God created man. God created man. The Bible tells us that God created man on the sixth day. He breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Why in the world did God do that? You ever wonder? You ever sit and think, why did God create us? Why did God breathe into the nostrils of Adam and make him a living soul and spend this time doing all of this? Why? The Bible, if you study it thoroughly, the Bible tells us that it was because he wanted a relationship with us. You see, Jesus, God, did not want servants. He's already got them. You understand, right? He's got angels. At any moment, he could say to any angel he wants, go and he goes. Come and he comes. Do and he does. God wanted relationship. God wanted relationship. He wanted to walk and talk. He wanted to spend time. In fact, Genesis chapter 3 tells us that God walked through the garden in the cool of the day. As if they had always done this. As if Adam, Eve, and God, that's just what they did. They just spent time together first thing in the morning. In the cool of the day, they would walk together and talk together. But I want you to understand that's the original intent. I want you to understand the sin of Adam broke that relationship. Again, Genesis chapter 3, if you don't know the story, Satan comes in a form of a snake and tempts Eve and says, this is the tree that you're not supposed to eat of, but that's not really true. And so Eve takes of that fruit and eats of it, and Adam does the same, except Adam was not deceived. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. He purposefully and intentionally ate of that fruit. And he did that, Bible tells us. Again, I can take you to verse after verse after verse here. I'm trying to synopsize this for you. The Bible tells us he did that because he loved Eve. and he didn't want to be alone. And so instead of spending eternity with God, he chose his wife. The Bible then further tells us this: for as by one man's disobedience, Romans chapter 5 and verse 19, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made what? Sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You see, I want you to understand this. The plan of God since the foundation of the world was to reconcile human beings unto himself. He wanted to have a relationship with human beings. In order to do that, because of sin, what had to happen? Jesus had to die. Jesus had to die. And this seed of Jesus Christ being planted in the earth produces life for all who will believe in him. You see, Jesus Christ is the path by which you and I can have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ is the only way. There is only one way to receive that life. I want you to continue on with me in John chapter 12. Look at verse 25 again. He that loveth his life shall lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Verse 26, if any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. I want you to see this. The only way to eternal life is through death. The only way to eternal life is through death. You say, this doesn't make any sense to me. This is also not very encouraging. The only way to eternal life is through death. Look at verse 25 again. He that loveth his life shall what? Lose it. And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Pastor Jones, what are you talking about? I'm talking about death to ourselves. Death to our flesh. Death to our desires. Death to our wants. Death to our way of thinking. There are many people in this world that think that if you do enough good works, then you'll be able to earn your way to heaven. The Bible's very clear. You cannot earn it. You can't do enough good works. And so you can try. You can be a good person. You can come to church every Sunday. And you can give money. You can do all these wonderful things. But the reality is, listen, not the way it's going to happen. Well, I am in control of my own destiny. I can do it. I can make it. I can accomplish it. Wrong. Death to your own way of thinking. Death to trying to earn your way to heaven. Listen to this, please. Death is the realization that no matter how hard we try, we are never going to make it. Death is the realization that no matter how hard we try, we are never going to make it. And that is exactly what will get you eternal life. Realizing that no matter how hard you try, you will never make it. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. In order to make it to heaven, you have to be equal with the glory of God. And you cannot get into heaven unless you're equal. But we all fall short because of sin. The Bible says all have sinned. All have sinned. Every single one of us, and we've fallen short. So no matter how hard you climb, no matter how hard you jump, no matter how much you reach, no matter what tool you use, you can't make it to heaven on your own. And so what you have to realize is, okay, death to that. I can't, and I realize I can't. I can't do it, and I realize it. When you realize that you cannot make it on your own, you will also realize that Jesus Christ has already done it for you. Jesus Christ has already accomplished it for you. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 is key to this. The Bible says this, for by grace are ye saved through faith. Notice, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And it says this, not of works, lest any man should boast. Listen, I pretty much make a living at doing good works. I walk around, I visit people in the hospital, I make phone calls, and I try to encourage people, and I give advice to people, and I help ladies across the street, and I bag groceries, and the list could go on and on and on and on and on. Oh, pat me on the back. I am something wonderful. That's what this verse means. Not of works. Why? Lest any man should boast. Some of you are thinking, well, yeah, I do the same thing. Well, yeah, I do this, and what did you do this week? Because I did something better. You see, already we're starting to go, look at me, I'm better. Not of works, why? Lest any man should boast. So all of us have to come to the conclusion, I can't. And that's death. I've been reading a couple books recently, military and war. And they have been, for lack of a better phrase, specific in describing how some of their comrades died. But every single time, it wasn't just one shot or one grenade blowing up. These men would still continue to drive forward, still continue to work forward until the last one, until they said, I can't anymore. I want you to understand, death is literally saying, I can't anymore. And you have got to come to the end of yourself and say, I can't. Jesus said in verse 25 that if you love your life, you will lose it. And so if you'll allow me to get you to think just for a little bit, I want you to think of yourself as a seed, just for a moment. Picture yourself as a cartoon, okay? Picture yourself as a seed. If you are like any of the seeds that we brought to the farm, you are currently in a bag, surrounded by all kinds of other seeds. You might even be partying with those seeds. Hey guys, isn't this fun? We're all here together. You're enjoying life with all the other seeds. But I want you to think about this. In reality, all you are doing is sitting in a bag. Sounds super exciting, doesn't it? All you are doing is sitting in a bag. You are accomplishing nothing. Absolutely nothing. I was 12, remember when I started? And we would pour these seeds all into big bins. And you know what was the funnest thing for me? I don't know why, but I just run my hand through that. It's just the coolest thing that seeds could move like that. They still did nothing. Listen, you could be moving around inside that bag. You could be dancing inside that bag. It doesn't matter. Listen, all you are is inside that bag doing nothing. Now, seeds can sit in this state for quite a while. But I've seen it happen time and time again. Seeds get put aside. Seeds that are just left in the bag will one day rot. They will. And I want you to understand this. Rotting seed is worthless. You weave through it out every time it rots. It's worthless. So you and I are the ones who are just sitting in a bag, slowly rotting away from our comfortable lifestyle. And you and I don't even know it. Oh, we have some good times, and there's people around us, and we have all these things. But listen, we're just here in this world. In the, if you will, if you'll allow me, the bag of this world. And we're just hanging out, having a good time, but reality is we're doing nothing. We think we are enjoying life, but we are a small and insignificant thing in this incredibly huge world. Unless we are planted. Unless, hear me, unless we die. If we die, hear me, we will have life. I know this sounds counterintuitive, but this is literally how seeds work day in and day out. Every single day, you can take a seed and you can plant it, or you can take a seed and you can leave it out, or it will rot and sit by itself, or it will produce life. The choice is yours. If and only if we die, we will experience the life more abundant that Jesus promised us. Some of you are still sitting here in this room today, perfectly comfortable in the life that you have set up for yourself. It's great. I have no predators. I have nothing to worry about. I live in comfort every single day. I don't mean to be rude, but I'm going to be. That is literally all your life will amount to. That's it. But if you surrender your life to Jesus Christ and believe in him and his death on the cross, the Bible says you too can have not just temporal life here on this earth, but eternal life and life more abundant, living forever with Jesus Christ. But you've got to put down any of this conceited thoughts of trying to accomplish this on your own and say, I can't. I can't work my way to heaven. I only can trust Jesus. Will you look at verse 27 with me? John chapter 12 and verse 27. Jesus says this, now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this cause came I unto this hour. Jesus very clearly here specifically says, my soul's troubled. I'm scared. I don't want to go through this. I know what's ahead of me. The Bible says that Jesus was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he knew what was coming, and it scared him. It worried him. He struggled with this. He was troubled, and he asks a rhetorical question. What shall I say? What shall I say? Father, save me from this. Father, get me out of this. Father, I don't want to go through this. Father, I can't. Father, I won't. Father, this. Father, that. I don't want to go through this. Listen, he says, I'm troubled. These are my thoughts. But then he answers it with this. It is for this very cause that I came to this earth. It is for this very cause that I came. Jesus is saying, I literally came to this earth for one purpose, to die. To die. You see, now I want you to picture Jesus as the seed. Jesus is in heaven, alone. The Bible says that God sent his only begotten Son to the earth. So you can picture from heaven to earth, buried. Why? To die. To simply die. Why? So that he might bring forth much fruit. So that he might bring forth life. There are some in this room that might be thinking there has to be another way. Maybe I can earn it. Maybe I can go to church enough. Maybe I can do enough good to other people. I can give enough money. Maybe I can blank. You fill in the blank. Listen, there is no other way. It was for this purpose that Jesus came. Listen, Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. Jesus died for you. And if there was any other way, then Jesus would have died for no reason at all. If Jesus, if we could have earned our way to heaven, then why did Jesus die? Just keep the commandments and make sure you do all the right things. Just make sure and then you'll make it. Why would Jesus sacrifice himself? If you could give enough money, listen, work harder, and then you'll be able to make it. Why did Jesus die? Listen, Galatians chapter 2 and verse 21 says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If I could have earned it, Christ died in vain. But John chapter 14 and verse 6 says this, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It is only through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And if you are holding out for another way, you will continue without life. If you're in the habit of writing things down, I'm going to ask you to write this down. The highest glory a seed can ever know is to be buried and broken so that life can rise in its place. The highest glory a seed can ever know is to be buried and broken so that life can rise in its place. It's a very simple thing. But for many people, it's very difficult. Because for many of us, we're unwilling to die. Jesus is the example. Jesus said, I am come for this hour, for this reason, for this purpose. I am come to die, and so you as well must die. Now, I also want to challenge the rest of us who sit here this morning that may already have died to self in order to come to Jesus Christ. I also want you to think about this. I've never done this yet, but I intend to. Plant a seed in the ground that you purchased from a store. Plant that seed in the ground and it grows. You get that cob of corn. I want to take several of those cobs or corn seeds off the cob and I want to replant those. I've never done that yet. I will. And you know what happens every single time? You take those seeds and you plant those, and guess what they do? They produce 800 more. You take those and you plant those, and they produce 800 more. And you take those and you plant those and produce 8. You get the picture yet? So you and I are seeds as well. We received life. Hear me, don't miss this. We received life because Jesus Christ died and was planted. And we had to give up ourselves and say, I can't do it in order to receive that life. But hear me, if we continue to go, okay, good, I've got the life now, I'm just going to stay here. Listen, we have failed. Jesus calls us, in fact, Paul says this, I die daily. You see, Jesus didn't call us to this earth just to receive life. He called us also to help bring life. And sometimes that means dying to ourselves every day. At work, when we want that next corporate level job. But at the same time, we've got an opportunity to tell our boss about Jesus Christ. And we wonder, will it be my job or will it be Jesus Christ? You may have to die to yourself and help plant so that someone else can have life. Listen, you are not the one who gives life. Let me be very clear. But you're the one who can help plant. The Bible says this, Paul says in 1 Corinthians, some plant and some water, but God gives the increase. So listen, this is not just a one-time thing. This is every single day of our lives. And Jesus says, if you will die, you will produce much fruit. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here this morning. Father, I am so, so grateful. And to be very honest, very overwhelmed by the fact that you would descend from heaven, come to this earth, die, physically be buried for 3 days and three nights and rise again. The same picture that we get from planting a seed in the ground that dies and is buried and rises again with new life. Father, because of that victory, I know for sure I can have a home in heaven today. Father, if there's one person here this morning, or even one that listens online, that does not know you as personal Savior today, I pray today they would lay aside their hopes, their dreams, and they would come to Jesus. They would come and see what His abundant life looks like. Father, that you would reveal places in our hearts where we've hung on, where we have tried to do things on our own, where we've tried to make things happen, where we've tried to succeed in our own lives. Father, may we die to ourselves so that we also can be used to bring life. Father, thank you so much for a daily relationship with you, for walking, talking with us. I pray each and every day, nothing would get in front of that. Nothing would stand in the way of our soul and our Savior. Whatever you'll do in this place, we'll give you honor and glory for. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.